I was hired right when the organization began, and so I can go back those 5.5 years. I really saw our organization starting as a response to the incredible increase in home values in the Twin Cities, and we were started by a number of other community development organizations and neighborhood groups who said, look, we make a home affordable, the homeowner sells, and then we got to come in with twice as much money to make it affordable to somebody else. And so land trust was something that was researched, and we came out of that really as an affordable housing tool that looked at the long-term or perpetual affordability of homes. As stated, I think what we've really grown into doing really well is threefold, and I think this is at the core of our mission, helping folks that otherwise would not be able to buy a home, be able to buy a home responsibly in Minneapolis. And I say responsibly because we've always required our home buyers to get 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. And as I talk about the model, you'll see that it's really kind of a joint supportive home ownership opportunity. Equally important to making sure that we create that opportunity is that if and when a homeowner ever sells, we're going to keep that home affordable for other income-qualified households. And then equally important to it, and I think what we're learning more, and maybe to respond to part of your question, is if we help somebody get into a home, we need to be prepared to do whatever we can within our financial and organizational capacity to ensure that they're successful at home ownership. All those things stated that are very home ownership focused, we've really come to learn over the last year that housing is really just a means to a much bigger community end, and we see the work that we're doing really the foundation of building strong communities, and home ownership is a piece of that. But I think the relationship we have with homeowners goes well beyond helping them buy a home, and we're the only entity that's with a buyer on the front side through the pre-purchase education to the closing, through the closing. We're the primary contact, and then once somebody closes on that home, the deal's not done for us, and that's really where our work begins. What we've seen over the last year, we're busier than we've ever been before. I'm extremely bullish on this market as of the last maybe 6 weeks.
Something you don't hear every day.
And I think and this is all hypothesizing, but I think a lot of folks that were boxed out of buying homes over the last 6 or 8 years because the home prices were rampant, who had good credit, very responsible individuals, they just don't make a lot of money, and they're seeing a great opportunity right now, and hopefully today we'll go through a number of examples where a number of our guidelines always require that folks more or less would have to qualify for at least $100,000, because if you throw in another 50, 60, or 70, we were just getting at the bottom of the market right there for somebody to buy a home. We're seeing buyers come in now with pre-approvals, $40,000 to $60,000, and we threw our old guidelines out and said, what do we know about this market? If you can find a home and it works and it's solid and we can do limited rehab on it and create an ownership opportunity for it, let's go for it. And we're seeing some amazing stories now of folks who, with very, very limited incomes, being able to break into this market.
So your older requirements were pre-approved for $100,000?
More or less.
And the new requirements do they exist, or is it case by case?
It's really case by case. I think the lowest we've gone, we're working with a household now that just signed a purchase agreement on a home in South Minneapolis for $90,000. That homeowner is bringing financing in the amount of $45,000, and we're bringing affordability investment in the amount of $45,000. To help them get into that home. And then in addition to that, part of this program that we have, it's called our Buyer Initiated Program, we provide up to $25,000 in deferred maintenance or rehab funding. So once they get in the home, they take title, we contract with another nonprofit, and we go in and do deferred maintenance. Again, because we can help somebody buy a home, but if in the next year they go out and put a new furnace on their credit card, it's probably going to impact their ability to pay off that mortgage or pay down that mortgage. And so we want to set them up for success. And we also see that $45,000 investment, for example, on our part, as an investment in their property. And we want to make sure that we're getting the home up into a good operating standard as well.
And so are they finding the homes and coming to you, or are they coming to you and you're helping find the homes, or how does that process?
We help folks two ways get into home ownership. So kind of those three kind of core values, principles. But then we help folks two ways. The one way is we partner with a lot of foreign nonprofit developers. Could be a single-family home, a condo, or a townhome. We're not a builder, but we partner with them to do that. We focus on the things we do well. go out, we raise the money on the front end. Let's say I'm a developer, I approach the land trust, we raise $60,000 together. We build the home and need $60,000 in assistance to make it affordable. So we're taking that $200,000 home and we're marketing it at $140,000. So if you want to buy a bod, come, you have to go through our pre-purchase steps. If you do that, there's no other competing bids on it. Sign a purchase agreement, you can buy it at that reduced affordable price. The other way is through our buyer initiative program. Instead of us knowing which home is going to be brought into the land trust, buyers still have to go through those pre-purchase steps. Once they've done that, they're then put on a wait list. Once their name comes up on the wait list, depending on their income, they get anywhere from $25,000 to $65,000 in affordability investment.
And how big is your wait list now?
We're at, I'm looking up behind you, there's two on the wait list. That stated, my coworker I know has three or four that need to go up there. So we're probably at least five or six on the wait list. And as you can see up above, we have two purchase agreements in and then another three households that are out looking for homes at this current time. And so on the right side is the Home Buyer Initiative Program, and then on the left side are the homes that we currently have for sale. So you could buy a home either way. The one way we know which home it is, the other way is the buyer goes out and determines. And the Buyer Initiative Program is the one that we're really getting slammed on right now. Just a ton of interest. Which is great, and we have funding probably in the pipeline for another 9 or 10 homeowners right now, but it's a perpetual fundraising endeavor for us as well, and they're big chunks of money that we're asking for.
Are these properties, were they in foreclosure or anything? Is there any inconsistent characteristic about the properties that you come upon that are available?
We'll go buy a couple today. Okay. That one was a burn down in North Minneapolis that a developer partner that we're working with built a new home on the existing foundation. There's one home maybe we'll go by that was a previously foreclosed home, and then we have a couple new initiatives that those homes as they become available are going to be on the left side as well that were previously foreclosed.
The people you've helped over the last 5 years, you said?
5 years.
Have you tracked them how they fare during all of the housing problems of the last, 2 years, and how have they fared?
Yeah, I think the other wonderful thing about what we do is that we meet folks where they are, and some folks say, "Well, is your land trust set up for first-time home buyers who are going to then move on in 2 or 3 years, or are you there for the long term?" And I think we meet folks where they are. That stated, there are homeowners who I haven't seen since they've closed. We still have monthly correspondence that we send out, but they're not required to contact back with us. There are other homeowners who are actively involved in our organization. We're probably talking to them at least on a 1 to 2 time a month basis. The Land Trust board consists of 15 board members. 5 of those board members are Land Trust homeowners, which I think keeps us really grounded to our work. They let us know what we're doing right, but also let us know where we need to be making some improvements. They serve on a number of committees. And I believe, again, anecdotally, that those homeowners are the biggest reason why we're getting slammed right now. It's the word of mouth thing that has taken several years and a lot of beating our heads against the wall saying, what's it going to take for us to start to get the word out? And now it's really running downhill on us.